Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
How you doing, John Trumbull?
I like that intro. You kind of drew it out. Where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live.
I like to try out different things, John. I like, you know, the microphone is my canvas.
That was almost Shatnerian.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I wasn't even going for
Shatnerian. Each word was its own sentence.
Shatnerian.
Yeah.
I've never been called that before. I didn't. Wow. Well, look at
it's
that.
A high compliment.
Yeah, I channeled the Shatner through me.
And yeah, yeah. We all have a little Shatner in us.
Yes, I'm a vessel through which the Shatner speaks.
Yeah.
As we all are.
Yeah. We can all only hope to aspire to the Shat.
Yes. Oh, that sounded dirty. Shat. Yeah, sounds like poop. Okay.
Getting off to a grand start.
Oh, fantastic.
Once again, how you been, Darren?
I've been all right, hanging in there, like the little kitten in the tree.
Yeah.
And same old, you know, trying to avoid the news and enjoy good things like SNL and what have you.
Yeah.
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 Like this episode that we saw here.
Yes. And this episode that we are talking about this week, it is SNL season 45, episode 13, RuPaul hosting Justin Bieber musical guesting. And this is from February 8th. 2020.
Yes, RuPaul. So, what do you know much about the RuPauls?
I mean, I'm aware of the RuPauls because RuPaul has just been in the pop culture atmosphere for like a couple decades
now. The zeitgeist.
Yeah. But I don't really follow RuPaul. I don't watch RuPaul's Drag Race or anything. They had a promo during the show of like RuPaul's Drag Race, the 12th season. And I was like, really? Wow. 12 seasons.
12? Wow. I didn't even know that.
I mean, like reality shows, they can cycle through the seasons faster than scripted shows. So,
yeah. I mean, I think they just like film a ton of them and then just show them all.
Yeah.
Like they could show like, you know, 18 episodes in like half a year or something.
Because there have been like 2 billion seasons of Survivor, I think.
I believe. Is that the
formal, I believe so, yes.
Is that the formal count? Is
yeah. You 2 billion.
You did the numbers? You crunched the numbers?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did.
All right. Yeah, I mean, as far as RuPaul goes, I mean, I know about RuPaul, you know, the Love Shack video, of course.
Yeah.
Her hit song, Supermodel, back in the 90s. And I enjoy it very much. I'm going to try to be careful with this episode because my sister Melanie, who listens, number one super fan, Melanie Patterson.
Hey, Melanie.
Hey, she is a diehard RuPaul fan.
Didn't she say something like almost vaguely threatening on our Facebook page, like "You guys better do a great job on this episode."
Yeah, she kind of threatened our lives with this episode, saying if you don't do a good review of this episode, it's going to be problems. As like, I mean, it wasn't like a horse head in our bed, but I still felt nervous.
Right, right.
So I was like, oh, yeah, because like she's like I would say a RuPaul stan, as the kids say.
Of
the RuPaul. I think she might have been to like a few, like RuPaul cons or something like that, or like those.
Do you mean cons as in conventions or as in concerts?
Conventions.
Okay.
Does RuPaul does concerts?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm
asking you. Like,
I mean, RuPaul had that song Work It.
Yeah.
That was like, I guess sort of like a, was it a novelty hit or was it just a hit?
I think it started off as a novelty hit, but then it became like a hit. It did pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You better work, cowgirl. Work it.
But did RuPaul ever have an actual album or anything? Should I get RuPaul's Wikipedia page?
Yeah, no, she did have an album. That was like a single on a whole album of RuPaul's, you know, fabulous hits.
I did actually look up RuPaul on Wikipedia in preparation for this because I was like, okay, I want to make sure I'm respectful and I do the right terminology and that. So I actually Googled, like, what is RuPaul's preferred pronoun, pronoun?
That is so woke of you.
And it actually says on RuPaul's Wikipedia page that RuPaul is indifferent to gender-specific pronouns about him, writing, you can call me he, you can call me she, you can call me Regis and Kathy Lee. I don't care, just as long as you call me. So
thank God. All right. Dude, this
we just reduced our chances of being canceled by like 75%.
Dude, that took a load off me. I was really worried. Like, do I just call him by the third person, like RuPaul? Like
I know,
like The Rock.
Because I was concerned. I was like, you know, you don't want to inadvertently get it wrong because we are just two heterosexual cisgender dudes in our 40s doing the best we can.
That's right. We're part of the problem.
We are. We are. Right. And I'm white, so I'm really part of the problem.
You're way more
I'm
part
a
of the,
mega part of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything, but yeah.
Well, I mean, it's implied.
Oh, wow. All right. So let's go. Let's dig into this thing.
Let's dive into this minefield.
Absolutely.
Cold
open, Democratic debate.
Democratic debate. We had Mikey Day as George Stephanopoulos, Alex and Ego as his co-hosts. Bring out all the Democratic candidates, all the folks who are still in the race.
Usual suspects, as they were. Future MSNBC contributors, I think he called them at one point.
Yeah, that's how he introduced them. We had Jason Sudeikis coming back as Joe Biden. He's talking about like his poor showing in Iowa and how he's going to do better in like South Carolina. And he's like, I'm going to do what I do best, creep up from behind.
Joe.
Grandpa Joe. We had Colin Jost as Mayor Pete.
Right.
Larry David coming back as Bernie Sanders, getting an applause break.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the novelty of Larry David as Larry... novelty of Bernie David... Or Bernie David.
Are you all right?
Am I having a stroke?
Do you smell
the
toast?
Novelty of Larry David as Bernie Sanders has not worn off yet.
Okay. There you go.
I'm still digging it.
I do, too. Yeah, I really like him.
It's fun to have him. You know, maybe I'd get sick of him if he was on every week, but I'm not sick of Larry David as Bernie yet.
I think it's weird. Like I mean, when Alec Baldwin does Trump, like we're sick of it at this point, but like Larry David as Bernie, we haven't gotten tired of it.
It still has a bit of the thrill of the new.
Yeah,
you know, because he's only been doing it for I guess a year.
Has it been a year already?
I don't know.
It's been a minute.
Well, no, he played him in 2016. So
yeah,
true. But it's only every once in a while.
Yeah, they
so.
Space it out enough. So
yeah,
it doesn't...
yeah, he's not overstaying his welcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we had Bowen Yang as Andrew Yang.
Of course.
Kate McKinnon, of course, is Elizabeth Warren.
Dratch.
Yeah, Rachel Dratch coming back once again as Amy Klobuchar. Dratch was really solid. She has not lost a step, man.
Yeah, no, she's good stuff.
Maybe
they have her host an episode in the future.
I think that would be fun. Why not?
Yeah,
I mean, if she has, I think probably the only thing keeping that from happening is that she hasn't had like this real prominent project to promote. You know?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Like, I don't think she's. I mean, ever since she left the show, she hadn't had too much. Like, she's been, like, recurring, like, side characters in movies and TV shows.
And, like, 30 Rock and stuff.
Yeah, 30 Rock.
I wish she would work more. I don't see her in too many things.
That's true. I mean, the last thing I saw was in that that Wine Country Netflix movie.
Yeah, I never watched that. How was that?
It's all right. It's good.
All right.
It's good. But, yeah, like, I think, you know, and that and, of course, the Super Bowl commercial she was just in with...
with the Boston accent.
Yeah, the Harbor.
The Harbor. Yeah, park the car on the Harvard Yard.
Exactly. She was a commercial with Jack Ryan and Steve Rogers.
Right,
Doing Boston accents.
Yeah.
And but, yeah.
Which I'm already a little sick of that ad. They've been running that ad a lot.
I haven't seen too much of it.
I haven't seen a lot of that ad.
Really?
And, you know, Boston accents, they can get a little grating.
It's a little bit. Yeah. Oh, you ain't parking your car.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun at first, and then it's like, okay, we're done.
Enough. Enough. All right. Let's see more things. I mean, as far as the cold opens go, this one was okay.
Oh, yeah. We also had Pete Davidson as Tom Steyer.
Right. I totally missed that.
Who said at one point, I'm tripping balls right now. And I have no idea if that was in character or not. That might have just been a random comment from Pete Davidson.
Dude, same thing. I was like, oh, is this part of the...
Is he going off script? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It really wasn't clear if he was... like going off script or he was staying on script, and that kind of worried me a little bit.
I legitimately, when Pete Davidson walked out, he's been on the show so infrequently lately that for a second I blanked on his name. I was like, oh, it's that guy. That's what's his name? He's not Mike. Okay, wait, don't tell me. I got this.
Larry Sanders.
Yes. Bernie Sanders. Larry Bernie David.
Sanders.
Sanders. Son.
Sanders son.
Bun.
Sundberg. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, as far as cold opens go, this one was okay. They kind of hit like a lot of the same beats they have in Democrat debates, cold open. Nothing really too new or too shocking.
Yeah, I feel like they have this obligation. They feel like they're obligated to cover every single Democratic debate, and I don't know if we need a debate sketch for every single time they have a debate.
That's true. I mean, I think like usually when like something crazy happens in a debate, you have to do a sketch around it. Actually, for a minute, I thought they were going to do something about the president's last State of the Union, where Pelosi ripped up that paper. That seemed to be more of a...
That wasn't commented on at all in the show, was it?
No, it wasn't. I was actually kind of
surprising. Yeah,
I was actually kind of shocked. I thought that was a gimme. Like they would have done something.
Because that's
with
still
that.
Like a story that's getting mileage on the social media and stuff. I think
so many memes with
so
that.
With
that paper rip.
So much false outrage and
faux rage.
Yeah.
But yeah, they avoided that altogether and they went with the Democrat debate, and it was good. I liked how Sanders said, Hillary said, I'm not popular, but how come I'm the most popular guy on 4chan?
Yeah.
Which, like, if you know 4chan, that joke kind of hits. If you don't, it's like, you got to ask your...
I only semi-know 4chan.
Yeah, you got to ask, like, your little brother or your son.
Okay.
Like, can you explain 4chan to me?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as far as cold opens go, this wasn't too bad.
I liked the Elizabeth Warren line. She's like, you know, people worry if I'm electable. I have a solution to that. Elect me. I thought that was a good line.
Yeah.
I liked when they said, oh, and now a word from our sponsors. And then they cut to a picture of Fred Armisen as Michael Bloomberg. That was cute.
Because he's still out there, man.
We are getting inundated with those Bloomberg commercials.
I've seen did you see the one during the Super Bowl or...
Yeah, I'm sure I did. Yeah. I actually saw like some Bloomberg commercials when I was down in Georgia a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, they're running down here too. That's interesting.
So he's really running.
Yeah.
this ain't like a stunt.
I mean, I just thought, I'm sure that the New York area is where we are is getting a heavier concentration of him because like he's most known here and I don't think he has too much of a national profile.
Right. That's
you know,
true.
Like, you know, my mom didn't know too much about him, but.
Okay. All right, We'll see what happens in the coming months, people.
We'll see what happens, and you know, I'm sure we've got some more Democratic debate sketches in our future.
Yes, we do. Larry David is on standby.
He's on Lauren speed dial now.
Exactly.
And I love that Sudeikis is coming back as Uncle Joe. You know, because I always loved his Biden, and Sudeikis is another one of those people who's just a great utility player.
Yeah, he's always
been underrated cast member, I think.
I would say so. Yeah, he's always like good in the clutch. He gets in and he gets out.
I wouldn't mind seeing Sudeikis come back to host.
Yeah, he doesn't really like steal the scene, but he's memorable.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was always a solid guy and
Yeah, absolutely.
I liked him.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, we like it, Jason Sudeikis.
Yay. So then we get into the monologue. We get RuPaul.
RuPaul coming out in the pink suit.
The pinkest of pink. Like
Pepto-Bismol pink.
Like Pepto-Bismol pink.
Yeah.
Like a highlighter.
Like neon pink. Yes.
Like
highlighter
like
pink.
Like shockingly pink.
Yes. Were you disappointed that like RuPaul wasn't in drag in any of the live segments? Were you expecting that?
Not really. I mean, I guess just because it would take too much to put him in. I don't know if they'd have enough time for that.
Yeah.
It would just take too long to, like,
I mean, I'm no expert on drag. I would guess that to get all in that outfit and made up, that could take upwards of 15 minutes.
I don't think that's accurate.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to go and say no.
You think it takes less time?
I think it's going to take a little bit more time than that.
Huh.
Like, 15 minutes? Yeah, no. That's... How long do you think it takes to get a woman or a woman to get ready? It takes. What am I trying to say?
I don't know. And yet I still somehow understood that question. Okay, I'll go up to 20.
All right, that sounds more.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
So I guess that was just too impractical to do for a live show. I mean, probably getting out of all that stuff would be just too difficult to do on a live show. Even if you're like spacing it out, like, oh, he'll change back during the musical guest segment or something like that.
Yeah, that takes too long. I mean, well, we saw him in the pre-tapes, which we'll get to, and like that was their compromise, I guess, which makes sense.
So we had you know, bald, business-suited RuPaul, which you see once in a while. I don't know what
I think you're seeing more and more of him out of drag.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's an intentional move on his part to
just to sort of
expand his brand, maybe, or
probably just to get the people acclimated to him sans drag.
Yeah, yeah,
as it were. But yeah, I have seen him more and more without the drag and suits and stuff. And like, I think he's like pushing 60 too.
Is he
like,
really?
Yeah, he's
looking good for 60, man.
I know. I'm saying like, whoa,
black don't crack.
No, we moisturize. So anyway, so like, it's. I mean, his monologue is pretty straightforward. Just him talking about himself, introducing himself to the audience, talking about he came to New York in the 80s, you know, back when there were drugs and seedy nightclubs all over the place, but it wasn't all good.
Yeah, I like that line.
That was a good line.
That was a cute line. Yeah, you know, it was a fine monologue. It was like you said, it was sort of just kind of an introduction to RuPaul, in case you were not familiar with RuPaul, which I figured probably a significant portion of the audience was not.
Yeah, it's very much like the J.J. Watt monologue, where like people who might not know who J.J. Watt is, like, here I am, this is what I do.
Here are the basics.
Yeah, and like RuPaul.
For dummies.
Yes, very much so. Now RuPaul was like, hey, this is who I am, what I do. Like, yeah, so we had like back to back, we had two monologues of people just kind of explaining who they are and what they're all about.
Yep.
And yeah, I dug it. Mm-hmm. I liked it very much.
So next we had the first sketch, Welcome to the Neighborhood, which is some neighbors, they're playing
charades.
High stakes charades.
Right. This one had Keenan, Ego, RuPaul, Chris Redd, and Kyle.
And a bunch of white people.
That didn't
especially matter to the sketch.
No, I remember. It was Heidi, Kyle, Beck, and I'm going to say Kate.
Sure.
Yeah, it was Kate.
Okay. And so Rue, Keenan, Red, and Ego, they're the Johnson family, and they're playing charades. And when it goes, like, we see the white family, they play a quick round of charades, and then we go to the Johnson family, the black family, and they're talking all through charades and giving verbal clues.
And the white family's like, oh, no, you're not supposed to talk while you do charades. And of course, the black family's like, no, don't interrupt me while I'm doing it. I didn't interrupt you when you did it, so let me. And it was like them talking.
Now, I guess I feel obligated to ask you, is this a black person thing? Is that I mean, because I was like, is this a stereotype that I'm not aware of?
No, it's been a minute since I've played charades. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, it didn't feel like it was a stereotype I'm aware of.
Okay.
I didn't hear about any of this at the meetings. But like, it was a weird sketch where they were playing charades, but they were kind of playing their own version.
Yeah, they're holding up three fingers and they're like, okay, this is three words and it's a movie. And, you know.
Right. And
then they're like all but telling you what it is.
Right, right. And like at one point I had to do a movie that has like 13 words in it.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, he's making like a Marlon Wayans face. Oh, it's don't be a man to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, wait.
I think my favorite moment was where like one of them just pointed to Beck and they immediately go, oh, 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this one. Yeah. And Beck was like, what? Hey, why did I?
Yeah, why did you immediately say 12 Years a Slave when you pointed to me? And I was like, oh, you know.
Yeah. I mean, this sketch was pretty interesting. Like, I was trying to follow it. It took me a while to sort of get into the rhythm of what they were doing. But like once I kind of found it, I was like, oh, okay, this is all right.
Yeah, it was cute. I didn't mind this one.
Yeah, yeah, same thing. I see what they're doing.
This was a decent sketch.
Yeah.
Next, we had a pre-tape with RuPaul doing a photo shoot, and RuPaul's like, "Hey, I'm on the cover of Drag for like the 20 millionth time, and we need the next generation of drag performers. And
right,
how about that person? And it's Pete Davidson's Chad.
Yay! Another Chad sketch.
Yeah. So we get. We get RuPaul coaching Chad and drag, and Chad, wait till you hear this twist. He's relatively indifferent to stuff.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he's okay, and he's also like very ignorant of stuff. And he's like, oh, you're a man? Oh,
okay,
yeah,
wow.
So you know,
this is a wild turn for this character, Chad.
Roller coaster, man.
Woo!
Yeah.
This was written by Streeter and Mikey.
Okay.
The combo duo. And yeah, I mean, if you've seen, I mean, I don't want to say if you've seen one Chad sketch, you've seen them all, but like I kind of.
But no, that accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's pretty much hit the same beats. It's like RuPaul trying to teach Chad how to be a drag queen. At one point, RuPaul was put him in a dress, and he had like those, you know, the fake chicken cutlet breasts. In there, and then,
I think it was more than that. It felt like it looked like a full prosthetic, but
like silicone.
I mean, I don't know how they did the whole engineering, but yeah, it looked like he had a chest.
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean. So then, so he puts him in that, and then RuPaul says, "Oh, how do you feel?" Chad says, "Gay," and RuPaul's like, "Perfect."
Yeah,
That was funny.
Yeah, honestly, my main reaction to this was like, holy crap, Pete Davidson has a ton of tattoos. I mean, because you see Davidson with his shirt off, and I knew his arms were pretty covered, but I didn't realize like his entire torso was basically covered
like
in tattoos.
Like Adam Levine covered, like a, like a high school desk.
Yeah.
Just covered in doodles.
He looks like a New York subway car from the 1970s.
Whoa. I mean, yeah. Just a lot of subway street tags and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was my main reaction. I mean, it's Chad. He's indifferent to everything. And
yeah,
that's the gag. And I went off on Chad the last time they did a Chad sketch. And
yeah, I mean, they keep doing... Is there like a big clamoring for Chad? Do people...
I can't see how, because... I mean,
guys, sound off in the Twitters.
Like, yeah, let us know. I mean, because I kind of get Chad, but not really. I don't get the point of doing Chad this many times, going to this well this many times, because it's like, well, what more are you going to do with Chad? You can't really, by definition of the character.
Yeah, he's just like a vapid kind of guy. Just kind of, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah,
and it's indifferent. He giggles at words like fart and butt.
So you're doing the same beats every time.
And sometimes that does work for a sketch where you do the same beats, mm-hmm. and it is funnier, but like sometimes it's just like kind of tedious.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes you're just repeating it.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
But yeah, so that was Chad. I was kind of lukewarm on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the correct reaction. Mm-hmm. So next we had Chick Splitting, which...
Yeah, this one was... Interesting.
This we had a bunch of people at the restaurant. They're doing a birthday dinner, and they're all talking about splitting the check. And Heidi's like, I didn't have any wine. Oh, but you know that's okay. And then
as one does.
And then Cecily is this pushy woman, Mary Beth. She's like, well, no, wait, this is not okay. And
yeah,
you know, like, she's like wagging her finger back and forth, and like, oh no, you didn't. And RuPaul's like backing her up.
Like, did you get what they were referencing in this sketch?
No.
All right. I didn't look it up, but like.
Okay.
But, Jed. But like, you said okay.
That's yeah.
Like, all right. But, cause.
I, if you can remember a name, I can try and look something up.
All right.
For
you. No, cause like what happened is like, when they were doing the sketch, I noticed that both of them were kind of, RuPaul and Cecily were kind of dressed the same, like the big 80s curly hair and the big. Kind of 80s suit shirt.
Right.
And they were speaking like this, like, kind of very, like, proper southern, I thought, diction.
I thought Cecily's voice sounded not unlike her Susan Collins or her Judge Jeanine Pyro. It seemed like in the same family, you know?
It did, but, like, it had, like, a certain thing to it. And, like halfway through the sketch, I was like, that kind of reminds me of something. That kind. And I only noticed because I saw, like, the commercial for it, like, on, like, Nick at Night for a while. It's like, this kind of reminds me of, like, Delta Burke in Designing Women. Are they doing, like, a Designing Women? Are they referencing that?
Maybe.
What happened was, like, RuPaul, as they stormed out at the end of the sketch, RuPaul was like, that's the time the lights went out in Georgia.
Right?
And, like, that is exactly from the commercial that I saw when there was, like, a commercial for Designing Women. I think this whole sketch was, like...
A big Designing Women reference?
Yeah.
Wow.
That and I was like, that is so inside baseball. That is so specific.
That's kind of a deep cut now because
that is the deepest of deep cuts.
I don't think too many people remember Designing Women.
No,
well. I watched some Designing Women back in the day.
How is it? Like I never.
It was fine.
Okay.
I mean, Jan Hooks was on in the later seasons.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Yeah, she came on. I was after like. They lost a couple cast members, and I don't even remember which cast members they left. Was Delta Burke one of the ones who left?
Maybe.
I know that...
Maybe.
Oh. Like, Jean Smart was on it.
Jean Smart was on it.
And I think Jan Hooks maybe more or less replaced Jean Smart.
Oh, okay.
Because, Jean Smart was one of the people who left, and somebody else... Annie Potts was on it.
All right! Jeanine Melnitz from my staff.
And who was the main... person. I can picture her and I can't. I'm blanking on her name. She played Delta Burke's sister and she had dark hair.
Oh, this is.
All right. Googling this. Well, we're going down the Designing Women rabbit hole.
I did not expect the show to go this direction.
All right. Let's see.
Wasn't she also on the later episode, The Different Strokes, that woman? She married Phil
Dixie
Drummond.
Carter. Yes,
Dixie
she
Carter.
Did play Mr. Drummond's wife.
Bam! Nailed it.
And then they had another actress who played Mr. Drummond's wife. I can't remember which one was first.
I thought Mr. Drummond was only married that one time.
He was. It was like a different actress playing the same character.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if Delta Burke was replaced or, excuse me, I don't know if Dixie Carter was replaced or if Dixie Carter replaced this other woman.
Okay. Actually, now that you mentioned, maybe it was Dixie Carter they were doing, not Delta Burke in the sketch. But either way, like, I think the whole sketch kind of hinged on you knowing about designing women.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that's what they were referencing.
Right.
So that's, I mean, I never seen this.
Okay. Julia Duffy and Jan Hooks replaced Delta Burke and Jean Smart for season 6.
Uh-huh.
But Duffy was not brought back for the 7th and final season, and she was replaced by Judith Ivy.
Interesting. Wow.
Wow. So much turnover on the designing women set.
I know. What's going on with these women designing here?
I don't know, but it ran from September 29th, 1986 till May 24th, 1993, producing 7 seasons and 163 episodes.
I haven't seen any of them.
I watched some of it back in the 80s, I remember.
I mean, I was too busy watching dope shit like Night Court and Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember it was one of those shows. I think maybe this is why the show is maybe faded away a bit. It was very topical, and it would like comment on the issues of the day.
Oh.
And stuff.
Okay.
Because I know the creator of Designing Women, Linda Bloodworth Thomason, she was real close friends with the Clintons.
Right.
And so she's like a big lefty, and so. Okay. I know, like, the main character, Julia Sugarbaker, was very liberal.
Oh, interesting.
And,
like a southerner, a liberal southerner. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That was kind of that. And
all right, I can dig it. So, yeah, the sketch.
Apparently it was a Designing Women reference?
Yeah, I think so. Huh. I'm pretty sure it was. Like,
okay.
Guys, if you look up Dixie Carter of Designing Women, there is at one point where she does that the night the lights went out in Georgia thing. I think this whole sketch, just paying the bill, was a reference to Designing Women.
Okay.
So I don't know how I feel about this.
I mean, I just thought...
I think did Cecily write this sketch? Because she does do that sometimes. Well, she'll make a sketch based on something that, like...
Some obscure thing. Like when they did that, the rain...
Yeah, the Orange Juice Jones in the rain.
Yeah.
Or they did the climax.
Which went over my head, because I didn't remember that at all.
No, I mean, I get that. Because, like, the Orange Juice Jones, the rain, that was only... That's a song you knew if you were, like... If you grew up in the 80s...
Which I did.
And, you grew up in the urban areas, we'll say.
I was in Washington, D.C. for part of the 80s. Mm. Moved away in 83. That was urban.
I don't know if we can count that.
Not urban. Okay.
I don't know if we can count that. Well,
can I get a half point?
You make yourself a potato salad, bring it to the next cookout, and then we'll talk about it then.
All right. Okay.
When Cecily did that sketch around the climax, meet me in the girls' room thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even I didn't know that. Well, yeah. I was like, what the fuck? That was like she likes making sketches centered around things that like maybe her and maybe like two or three other people will get.
Yeah. Okay. Like, so this was one of those. Was she a writer on this sketch? I'm assuming.
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if she was.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that she would do a sketch where it was basically a showcase for her and RuPaul, because I believe she is a big RuPaul fan, and I know I've seen on her like Instagram stories like she's attended or maybe even hosted like some drag shows, so I think she does have some connections to like the drag culture.
Oh, she's drag adjacent.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, but yeah, I mean this sketch, I mean, if you got the reference, you probably loved it. If you didn't, you probably just thought it was very odd.
Yeah, in my notes, I just wrote, "This is just bizarre." But I didn't get the reference. So, but I mean, those types of sketches where you're doing this really specific reference and you're doing a really deep cut, it's going to hit like a small number of people, but it's going to hit those people really, really hard. Right. So,
like the Weezer sketch with me,
right? And with me, and So probably there's some SNL Designing Women stan out there who's just like, oh my god, that was the best thing ever.
This sketch is life.
Yeah,
flame emojis, flame emojis, flame emojis.
Right. Right. So.
All right. So yeah. So that was the sketch.
That was the sketch.
Next up, we got another pre-tape. Boop It.
Boop It. There's a fake ad for a game where, like, a family game where it's like this device and you're hitting the various bits to match the sounds.
I think it's like there's also a game out called Bop It. I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's a spoof on that. Just add an extra O and called Boop It.
Clever SNL writers.
That's right. That's why they make the big bucks.
And we had. So we had Chloe and Chris Red and
Mikey
and Mikey as the kids who are all having fun playing this game, and then Beck comes in as the dad who gets it wrong, and then he gets very bitter.
Yeah, and he starts drinking.
He starts drinking, and then he comes back and he's getting obsessive with it, and he's like hitting all the bits and
right. And he tries to like boop and he's like he's not good at it at first,
right.
But then like as the day goes on. He like, oh, I did it. Oh, get your friend back in here and let's see what I can do. He's like, he sent his friend back home. It's like,
right.
Like, oh, your mom called you. Go get out of here. And then at the end, we see that Heidi comes in as the mom of the two kids.
Right.
And it's like, where have you been? You were supposed to drop off the kids off at, 2 hours ago.
Yeah. And we find out that they're a divorced family and he's, and like all his stuff is coming out.
Yeah.
And I really liked, like, during this heavy emotional breakdown thing, we had the little battery info at the bottom. That was a great touch.
I noticed that. I was like, oh, that's a great touch.
This amused me. I really liked this.
Right. No, it was really good. This sketch was written by Streeter Seidel and with Mikey. And Streeter just tweeted out. Boop It. Might be the most depressing thing I've ever written. My goal in my marriage is to avoid becoming Beck's character.
That's a worthy goal, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, a worthy goal for your marriage.
Yeah, but I dug the sketch. I thought it was all right.
This was a highlight for the show for me. This didn't feature RuPaul anywhere in it, did it?
No.
Yeah. I wonder if this was something that was maybe taped before and delayed or something.
It's very possible.
I don't know.
Yeah,
because it's kind of unusual. We don't feature the host at all.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, so that was Boop It, which I dug. This might have been my sketch of the night.
I think that might be it for me, too.
Yeah.
Next, we had The Library, where we had celebrity RuPaul reading to the kids. And RuPaul's reading from various children's books and starts getting very salty.
Yeah, because, like, this is something I didn't get immediately, because
me neither.
She was holding up books and saying, "Oh, Eloise, look at her dressed all nasty and whatnot."
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like her hair looks like a broom. And then they explain a little ways into the sketch that reading is a drag term for personalized insults and basically like throwing shade.
Exactly. Like I didn't get it until they had to come out and literally explain what they were doing. But like I did notice, like before they did the explanation, there were a few people in the audience that were laughing and like, "Oh, I get it." And like so, some people in the audience got it, and they're probably fans.
The audience was loving this sketch, man. Like, this went over big.
See, those people were definitely like fans of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah,
because like they got what they were doing.
But they were bringing that foreknowledge into it,
right? But people like us who never seen it, was like, what's happening?
Yeah, we were coming into a cold. We were like some of the parents in the were like, wait, what's going on?
Right.
You know that character. Like, SNL always does that character who's like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, and then...
Wait, why is this bizarre thing happening?
Yeah.
I'm here commenting on it? What?
they become the audience.
Yeah.
And so they literally explaining, oh, no, when you're reading something, you're like, you're throwing shade at them.
Yeah.
So it's RuPaul reading to the kids,
right?
So they flipped the term.
They flipped it on its head, and he held up the cover of Madeline, and he was like, "Well, first of all, the Eiffel Tower isn't in the woods."
Exactly.
And he held up the Nancy Drew story, "The Secret of the Old Clock," and he's like, "No, she was just in the woods, and she was doing her business, and then somebody came on her, and
oh yeah,
she grabbed a clock to cover it up.
She's out there doing her sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, it reminded me like Brian Fellows a little bit, this guy. I don't know why, but I was like...
A little crossover between sassy RuPaul and Brian Fellows. Yeah. That's interesting.
Look at you dressing like that. That's crazy.
That's an interesting dissertation in the making there.
I don't know why, but I got like Brian Fellows flashbacks watching.
I'm Brian Fellows. Oh, God bless Tracy Morgan.
But yeah, I mean, as far as I thought the sketch was right, there are a few points where it seemed like she made him like RuPaul like might have missed her mark at some point, and there was like a couple of stumbles.
It seemed like there was like some sort of technical screw up, because it was like you see RuPaul, he like picks up the book and he's like staring at the cover for a long time, and then they cut to the parents and the kids,
right?
And then they have a line. I mean, like RuPaul obviously had nothing to say because he didn't have the next line in the sketch. So.
Yeah, it seemed like a few cues were missed and a few words were stumbled. Yeah, but I mean, yeah. For the most part, I thought the sketch was right. Once I understood the term reading. And
yeah, I mean, once we could get behind the premise and we were like, oh, okay, that's what they're talking about. All right.
Okay, all right.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'm with you now. I'm with you now, SNL.
I'm hip. I'm with it.
You've broadened my horizons a little bit. I know now the drag term reading.
Right on. I'm with it.
Okay.
I'm hip. I'm with it.
Maybe we should do an Austin Powers movie.
Ooh.
You know, the new James Bond movies coming up not too long, in a couple months. We should cover the Austin Powers.
We could.
Yeah.
I mean, Will Ferrell wasn't the first one.
Let's put a pin in that.
Yeah. Ooh, that's what we call a teaser.
That's
in the
a
biz.
Little idea I had just now. So next we had our musical guest, Mr. Justin Bieber.
Yes.
Who, first of all, has a mustache.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Let's unpack this mustache.
I think we actually got a tweet about that, too.
Did we really? Okay, let's hear it.
Wait.
Because honestly, I could spend like 5 minutes just talking about Justin Bieber's mustache.
Yeah, Ruby the Rube.
Oh, okay.
What up with Bieber's mustache?
Yeah.
What up with it indeed?
We agree,
what up
Ruby.
What up with that?
What up with that? Justin Bieber's mustache? It's
like almost.
Would you say it's a porn stash?
I want. Yeah. It's like.
It Errol makes him look kind of sleazy.
It's almost Justin. It's almost John Waters, but a little bit thicker.
Not as well trimmed as like an Errol Flynn or John Waters.
I don't know who I could compare it to.
It was. I got more of a like. He's. It's a little more. It seemed a little more Trailer Park. You know?
Yeah.
It's more in an My Name is Earl kind of territory.
Wow.
Not as thick.
Oof.
Or as lustrous as Jason Lee's My Name is Earl mustache.
Right.
But it's coming in.
It's no Ron Swanson.
No.
But yeah, it is. I mean, we hate to bag on his looks because, you know, Justin.
Do we?
I don't want to bag. Just because, like, you know, he got famous young and he's gone through some stuff.
Uh huh. Yeah.
You know.
That's true.
And,
that's
you know,
true.
Like, you know, when you get fame that young.
Oh, damn it. Don't make him into a person.
I'm trying to show a little, trying to give him some heart, man. We're not monsters.
You with your empathy.
Look inside your heart. But yeah, like, he looks weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a good look for
he's
him.
He's got, like, neck tattoos and body tattoos.
He's another one. It's like him and Pete Davidson. They're all tatted up.
They're having a tat off.
Yeah.
And, yeah he's, I, oof.
Yeah,
baby was a long time ago.
It really was, and it makes you feel kind of old.
It does,
because he's like got to be well into his 20s by now.
I mean, how old was he when that baby?
He was around 16, I think.
And that was like 10 or 11 years ago. So
yeah,
he's getting close to 30.
Yeah, like, closing in on it.
Woo!
So he did a song called Yummy, and he performed in like this green box, and I thought when they did the teaser, because he's in a green box and he's wearing green pants, I thought we're gonna do some green screen effects.
Yeah, I thought that too.
I thought we were gonna do some like Prince Raspberry Beret stuff.
Ooh.
You know?
Oh man, that's the dream.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it starts out he's there with like a bunch of stringed instruments. He's got like three people playing like guitar, upright bass, and
a cello.
Yeah. And then they go away and like the dancers come in.
And then they just dance with shadows in the back.
It was a neat visual because they're kind of uplit. And so you're seeing their shadows. You're seeing multiple shadows in the green box. And
right.
it was a really neat visual.
Yeah, visually nice. But yeah, the fact that it was green and his pants were green, I really thought like, oh, I thought they're gonna do some like, you know, some like you said, like some green screen. But
yeah.
But not the case.
No.
Yeah. You
know. What'd you think of the music?
I thought it was okay. It was like it's definitely not like the big loud sort of poppy stuff that he grew up with. It's like a lot more muted and mellow. And kind of like sleepy. I don't want to say sleepy, but like it's more like, you know, hey, sub girl.
Yeah,
it's more like kind of mumbly, poppy, synthy.
very synthy,
dancey stuff.
Yeah, and it was like, I didn't think much of it personally, but
okay,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
not probably, my thing. I mean, I realize, of course, I'm not the target audience for the Justin Bieber.
Yeah,
songs.
I mean, when he was big, I wasn't big on the Biebs. But
yeah,
like,
no.
Yeah,
it'd be weird if we were.
It really would. Be.
It would be weird if we were like dudes in our 30s and like that Justin Bieber man.
We're Bieberholics, man.
Yeah, I mean, like most of my knowledge of Justin Bieber comes from watching his roast on Comedy Central.
Ooh,
you know,
most of it. Yeah, that when Jimmy Fallon did him. On the show, and
I don't remember Jimmy Fallon doing.
I
remember Kate McKinnon doing it.
Yeah, McKinnon did him quite a bit. I thought he would like McKinnon.
I was a little disappointed we didn't get a little, you know,
a little
Bieber versus Bieber,
yeah,
or something. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's just too far in the past or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess, but they could have pulled that out.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's too bad. I wonder if they worked that up, or maybe Bieber just didn't want to be in any sketches. Who knows?
Who knows? Who can understand the mystery that is Bieber?
Who knows? His second number was a song called Intentions, featuring Quavos. Is that how you say it?
Cuervo? How is it spelled?
It's Quavo. Q-U-A-V-O.
And pronounced Quavo.
Quavo? Okay.
Quavo.
And you were saying, what band was Quavo in before?
He's in Migos.
Okay.
He's one third of Migos.
He was a 1970s action figure.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Boy. All right. Yeah. He's,
that was for you nerds.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
That's right. That joke was our Delta Burke, Dixie Carter,
that's
designing
right.
women of jokes. I don't know. So they did that song at the end. And yeah, that song was okay. Same thing, kind of like very synthy, kind of mellow.
Yeah, I don't know if this was the same box, but they had like, you know, a lot of neon lights behind him flashing the lyrics. Again, it was very interesting visually. I thought this song was worse than the first. I thought this was pretty crappy. I went full Zoidberg when I watched this. I was just like, that was bad and you should feel bad.
Oh, man. I mean, at this point, I just realized they're going to show musicians that are younger that just don't connect to me because I'm an old bag of bones.
They occasionally get the people who speak to us in our generation.
That's very true. Oh, we'll talk about that when it comes to upcoming.
Teaser.
Ooh, hey now.
Teaser.
But as far as music goes, it was so-so.
Yeah.
That was all right.
Yeah.
Next up, Weekend Update.
Weekend Update with Colin Jost and Michael Che. Lot in the news this week.
Lot
in the news. We had Trump acquitted. Mitt Romney voting not to acquit.
Right.
Or to convict.
To convict. He's like the lone survivor.
Yeah. Trump going after Romney and
firing
then,
people.
The State of the Union and him saying insane things. He gave Rush Limbaugh a Presidential Medal of Freedom, which. How fucked up is that? Seriously.
It's just.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Let's
talk about happy things. Talk about
They went through all these stories, and I was like, "Oh right, all these insane things happened in this one week."
Right. Like this isn't.
This was a nutty week, man.
This was a nightmare.
I mean, and we had the whole mess with the Iowa caucuses, and
we
didn't know who won that for like a couple
happened?
Days.
Do we still
know? The app didn't. Apparently, it was Buttigieg, but it was very close between Buttigieg and Sanders. And then
happened?
And then Warren was a third, but she's significantly behind, and Biden was behind her. And
because I know they mentioned that in the cold open where Sanders was like, oh, like things got messed up on Iowa because of the app. Well, I got the best kind of app, no app.
Yeah,
that was a big old mess.
Yeah, I liked how they were talking about. Oh, here's Trump announcing his acquittal, and then they just cut to footage of the OJ verdict.
Yeah,
that was great. That was, I mean, that was pretty cool. That was whoever thought of that. Hat tip to you, sir, or lady, ladies can write Weekend Update segments too.
Women write too now,
it's
man.
It's 2020.
That's right.
Yeah, we're living in a science fiction paradise where women can write comedy too.
Yeah. Okay.
We've all been to like the stand-up shows where it's like, our next comic's a lady.
Hold on, guys. Don't leave just yet.
Yeah.
Give it a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
She's funny.
And, you know,
And then they always talk about like how she looks rather than like her being funny.
Yeah. Or, oh, that's a thing that like a lot of female comics are like.
Yeah. I saw a Facebook thread complaining about that this week. It's like, and it's just like,
next one, she's a lady and hachi wachi.
Don't do that. Don't do that. It's creepy.
Legs up to her face.
Yeah.
Mamma mia.
We don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you want to have sex with that female comic, but keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
The female comic doesn't want to hear that. The audience certainly doesn't want to hear that.
Yeah. And plus, you don't do that to the male comics. You don't be like, oh, the next comic is the dude, and man, his pecs are popping.
Wouldn't it be kind of cool to like attend a comedy show where the host literally just talked about how much he wanted to fuck every comic? Every single comic on the bill.
Women and men equally.
He just talked about how sexually attractive he found everyone. That is the one that I could get behind.
The next comic coming up, his butt off. You can bounce a
his butt is so taut.
Oh,
what I would do to him.
Just bite into it like a peach in summer.
I would enjoy that.
Oh, okay. That's somebody's idea. If you want to run with that, guys, run with it.
Yeah, please. Let's just do the sexual harassment comedy show.
Oh, my God.
Wait,
where were we talking about?
We were talking about Weekend Update, supposedly.
Oh, right.
Let's see. I liked the line that Colin delivered. He said he was talking about how in the State of the Union, Trump gave Rush Limbaugh the medal, and he talked about the Space Force. Which was a moment I predicted in a Mad Libs in 1992. That was very cute.
I know. This world is so bizarre.
Oh, also, yeah, Trump, after the Super Bowl, he got the state wrong when he was congratulating Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, that was a big thing.
He was like, Kansas City in Kansas. No, Kansas City is in Missouri.
Missouri. Although there is a Kansas City in Kansas, but the team, the Kansas City Chiefs, are from the Kansas City in Missouri. It'd be nice if the president knew that, but whatever. Fake news. It's Obama's fault and la-di-da.
You know, and they also showed some clips of like some Trump speeches this week where he like mispronounced the word sanctuary and he screwed up the United States. I don't really think
he's like
dudes.
He's like losing the marbles.
Yeah,
probably.
It's scary, man.
Okay. All right, let's have happy thoughts. Happy thoughts.
We just got to get to November. We just got to get to and then next January. We just got to make it through another year of this, less than a year.
That's right.
And
take my hand. We'll make it. I swear.
Oh, God. All right. All right. Got a Wilson Phillips. This shit. Hold on for one more day.
Oh wow, we went from Jovi to Phillips. All
we
right.
did. We I did. Like we're going did 80s. Let's see, back to Weekend Update. I liked, Jay had a really nice line. He was like, well, say what you will about Rush Limbaugh. And that was it. I was just like, that was brilliant. That was,
yeah. Jay had some good, there was one line where Jay mentioned, Donald Trump has the blood type of hamburger, his blood type is hamburger grease or something.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Yeah. He was like, this person, the colonel that Trump fired this week, Vindman.
Yes.
He has a purple heart, and Trump also has a purple heart because of his diet. Yeah.
Blood type is hamburger grease.
Yes.
I don't know what's hamburger grease is a funny word.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah.
But yeah, some solid jokes in this this Weekend Update.
And then we had Chloe Fineman coming on doing a segment about talking about the Oscars, which are happening, well, today for us, but yesterday for you people.
That's right.
I mean, weren't those
you
Oscars?
You people.
You listeners.
Oh, okay.
You fine listeners. You fine people listening to this podcast right now.
All right. I'll allow it.
How about those Oscars, huh?
Oh, my God. Can you believe when, insert name here.
Yeah.
One for Best Actor?
Yeah. And when Brad Pitt won Best Supporting Actor?
Oh.
Come on. Let's be real. It's going to be Brad Pitt.
I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
Ooh, wow.
That's our heart prediction, and you'll know if we're right tomorrow.
All right, guys, take that to FanDuel.
That's right.
Put down good money on that.
But Chloe Fineman, she did a nice segment. She was talking about how steering wheel acting and just doing impressions. It's when a broken woman is finally alone in her car, and she just lets it all go, and she's like half laughing, half crying.
Right.
And
that is a bit of a trope where women break down and and behind a wheel of a car.
Yeah, and I like that. I liked that it was, you know, she just zeroed down on this specific thing. It wasn't just like, oh, here are a bunch of unrelated impressions. She found like a nice through line for that, or her and the writers did.
Yeah, yeah, like that. She did like an impression, a quick impression of, what is that? She did a Timothy Chalamet, I think.
Timothy Chalamet from Little Women. She did Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland.
She did a Saoirse Ronan, I believe.
Yeah.
She
did Meryl Streep.
She did a Streep.
And then she segued into teacup acting, and she did a ScarJo impression from Marriage Story.
Right.
Where she's like sort of pinching her lips and you're doing a very recognizable Scarlett Johansson impression.
Right.
And she just goes, "Do you feel like you're at home, Colin?" and then it just cuts to a two shot of her and Colin. And he's like,
I even know she mouthed the words, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Yeah. And that was very amusing. I really enjoy it when they're like ribbing Colin, and Colin just has to sit there and take it.
I enjoy any and all Joe's jabs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I
thought Just jabs.
But I thought this was great, like giving like a new cast member like this big platform to sort of show her impressions. But
really nice showcase for Chloe, because she's really good with impressions, and she hasn't had too many opportunities to really strut her stuff on the show yet. So this was a good segment.
Yeah, I mean, she's had pops here and there. I mean, she showed her Michelle Williamson impression like early on in the season. But yeah, for the most part, this is like where she kind of got to shine a little bit.
Yeah.
My only thing is, I kind of really wish that they did this but for Melissa. Like, they haven't really. I mean, Melissa's gotten like, you know, her parts on Weekend Update and whatnot. But like, I wish there was like a part where they did something exactly like this for her. Was just like, here are some impressions I do. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, or figure out like a sketch that Chloe and Melissa could do together, where they just run through tons of impressions or something like that.
I would welcome that very much.
Yeah, they both need a little more in the show because. I mean, you know, they're the future of the show.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, I do like how in this season, like, they've gotten the new people, they've gotten a lot of chances to shine so far.
Yeah,
like,
more so than usual.
Yeah, like, Ego's gotten some good screen time, Chloe's gotten some good screen time, Bowen.
Yeah.
Like, the new people are really getting a chance to sort of show what they can do.
I would like to see a little more with, like, Chloe and Ego and Melissa as well. Mm. I mean, I feel like they're still, like, a little underserved, but that'll come with time, I'm sure.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Heidi as well.
Oh, yeah.
Heidi's, you know, kind of newish, too, so.
Yeah, well, because she's been like...
It's like her second year, I think?
I think third.
Third? Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure it's like a third or so.
Wow. Okay.
Justin Gardner, tweet at us. Let us know.
Yeah, correct us on that, please.
Yeah. Next up, we got Kathy Ann, played by Cicely Strong, the birthday girl, because there was a birthday yesterday
on the show, and this was like a reference to that, and it totally went over my head.
Yeah, because Michael Che says, "Oh, hey, Kathy Ann, I heard it's your birthday today."
And she's like, "Yeah, I'm 21. and Kathy Ann is made up to look like a middle-aged lady.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, you that's quite a 21.
Yeah, that's a Bieber 21.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Why? We were making fun of his mustache for like 10 minutes.
This is true. I'm just hedging our bets.
I see.
But yeah, Kathy Ann is a lady who screams outside Jay's window. Yeah.
She kind of slurs her words like, hey, Michael Che.
Yeah.
Like a kind of a weird, like Liza Minnelli-ish.
SNL likes its white trash ladies who lose their pants a lot.
Who doesn't?
There's like a certain crossover between Mrs. Rafferty and Kathy Ann, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Mrs. Rafferty is from the alien abduction sketches that Kate McKinnon plays.
Yeah, people, they like their train wrecks of a woman.
Yeah, yeah. This is a fun character.
Yeah.
This was all right. I thought a bit of a come down after Chloe Fineman's great thing, but
yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
but still, like, I mean, Cicely Strong's always a strong performer, and like,
she lives up to her name.
Oh yeah, always gives it her all. Yeah, I dug it.
Yeah, yep,
absolutely. Next up, we got some Thirsty Cops, guys.
Thirsty Cops. This is revisiting a sketch they did last year, I think it was, when
Seth Meyers hosted.
Okay. And I remember, like, the first time they did the sketch, this, it had a little controversy because they were identified as Baltimore police officers, and, like, the real Baltimore PD was, like, pushing back at that. And they were like, oh, our police officers are very professional, and
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it was a story for a hot minute.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
all right. But so it's just RuPaul, you know, dressed as a man cop.
Yeah,
and Ego as a lady cop.
Lady cop.
They pull over.
Pete.
And they go.
He was texting while driving.
Right. And of course, it's just them kind of playfully sexually harassing him.
Yeah. I liked, they were like, oh, so where are you going? Are you headed straight, or is your journey more fluid? Because they're trying to feel Pete out and figure out like which one of them Pete might be more interested in.
Yeah, because RuPaul's, he's like black ice. You won't see me coming.
You know, and they asked him like, oh, is this like a DUI or more of a DTF situation? This is all right.
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much hit the same beats as the last one, and it's just basically like a lot of...
We just exchanged out Leslie Jones for RuPaul.
Yeah, and just like tons and tons of sexual innuendo.
Yeah, I like that they're still Baltimore cops. They didn't become fictional cops from some...
Yeah, they just make some other town up or something.
No.
Or, I mean, why does it have to be Baltimore?
Everyone knows Baltimore has the horniest cops. I mean, come on. Come on.
Is that what they're known for?
That's a thing, yeah.
They're known for crab cakes and horny cups?
Absolutely. Those are the two big Baltimore things.
All right.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Crab cakes, Edgar Allan Poe, horny cups. It's that's look them up on Wikipedia.
It's on their crest.
Yes.
If you look at it.
It is.
It's on the flag.
It's their city flag. It's just a cop humping Edgar Allan Poe. It's really weird.
While eating crab cakes.
While eating a crab cake. Yes. Tweet at us, Baltimore residents.
Oh, boy. So, I mean, as far as sketches go, this was okay.
It was okay. I didn't feel like it really rose above the level of okay. And honestly, I would have rather had, like, Dyke and Fats.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah, that would have been... Yeah, they haven't done that in a while.
They haven't. They didn't, you know... Huh. I want to see Kate McKinnon in 80 with the Chicago accents.
Yeah.
And
you don't get to use that word.
You don't use those words. Those are our words.
Yeah, well... Yeah. You don't get that, but we do get Kate and Edie in the final sketch of the night.
Ah, old New York show.
Yeah.
With Madge and Dickie.
Mm-hmm.
And they live through 1994, and I didn't get this.
This just went
totally over my head.
Honestly, when I saw this, it kind of reminded me of Oh Hello.
Uh-huh.
That thing that Nick Kroll and Mulaney do.
Yeah.
It seemed like a female reboot of that. So it just seemed like a...
Maybe, I could see that.
It's like a sketch of, you know, these people, you know, like old New Yorkers, you know, like from like the Upper West Side, or like shop at Zabar's, and they're like part of the theater of New York, and they lament the old New York and whatnot. I mean, yeah, this sketch was...
did not work for me.
You know how... We've talked about this before, like how sometimes, like, Kate and Edie will do a sketch that's like just for them. That they're pleased with.
Yeah.
This seemed like that sketch.
Yeah, it seemed like something that like really amused them in the office.
Right.
And it just was, I just thought it was really self-indulgent and it didn't really work.
Right. I mean, sometimes it works. Like, they like you said, Dykes and Fats. They get, they seem to like really like that. But that translates better to the audience than something like this where.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine to have a sketch that arises out of an in-joke or something like that. But it's got to translate to the broader audience, I think.
Right.
It just felt very inside, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and that does happen. Like, sometimes when we'll have two cast members who really like working with each other and making each other laugh, and like the sketch will be a little bit more about them having a good time. But, you know, Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo, or Horatio Sanz and Jimmy Fallon, or I don't know who else. Sandler and Farley. Kristen Wiig and Fred Armisen, like they like working together and like they like making each other laugh while they're on camera.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they still are aware they're like they still have to make all of us laugh too, all the viewers laugh too.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, with something like this, the old New York show, it seemed like more kind of like a lot of inside New York jokes and just making them laugh.
Yeah, I just thought this one was dire.
Yeah, I mean, even when RuPaul came in as like I guess he was like as one of their ex-husbands. Who's an unemployed shoe critic, and I thought RuPaul that might have been the best performance RuPaul did. Like he seemed to be really game for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked at the end, "Oh, can I crash here because my apartment has been a CVS for the past 5 years?"
I like that line.
Yeah,
that's a good line.
There's a couple good lines in here and there in that last sketch, but yeah, like you said, for the most part, it just seemed like a sketch to. Please, Katie and 80.
Yeah,
and I was like, I don't know if this is working.
Yeah, it did not. And you know, did it feel like towards the very end of the show that they might have like cut a sketch last minute?
It definitely felt like that.
Because we came back from a commercial, and we just came back to like the band for a little bit, and then before we came back again for the good nights. And the very last thing we had was Justin Bieber's second musical segment.
Yes,
and they don't usually close on a musical segment.
Not really. I mean, I think they did it. Didn't they do that with the Adam Driver episode?
Yeah, they might have.
They closed it. Like, usually, I think when they close it on a musical segment instead of a sketch, that means, like, they didn't have time to do their last sketch.
Yeah, so maybe something ran over.
Yeah. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And that was the episode.
I don't know. What'd you think of the show overall?
Overall, I thought it was okay. I thought it was better than the J.J. Watt episode, but not as good as the Adam Driver episode.
So yeah,
like,
I think
right
that's,
in the middle.
I think that's a fair assessment. I didn't think it was a very good show overall, outside of, like, say, you know, a couple things like Chloe's segment on Weekend Update and the Boop It sketch. I wasn't too nuts about a whole lot of stuff. I thought this was an off show for them.
I'll give you that.
You know, this is towards the end of the show, I was thinking, I was reminded of an old rule that Gene Siskel had about how to tell if it's a good movie or a bad movie. Mm-hmm. And he would ask the question, is this more interesting than watching the same group of actors have lunch?
Mm.
And I think this episode of Estelle fails that litmus test. I would rather watch RuPaul have lunch with Justin Bieber. Because what do they talk about? What common ground do they have?
I want to say mustache, but that sounds insensitive.
You want to say what?
I want to say mustache, but that sounds... No, I guess maybe RuPaul had a mustache. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. What would they talk about?
Yeah, I'm kind of fascinated by this question. I wish...
Tattoos or...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hair care products? Did Bieber and Pete Davidson compare tattoos?
That I could see happening.
Yeah.
Like, where do you get your tats? Where do you get your tats?
I mean, did Cecily fangirl over RuPaul? Probably, yes.
I would...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a safe bet. But
it's RuPaul.
Yeah.
It's your rudeness. I don't know if they call him that.
But I didn't think this one was a very good show, which is unfortunate because, you know, we've had two not great shows in a row, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, the J.J. Watt I was more down on than this one.
Yeah.
This one, I thought it was okay, but it wasn't great. I mean, I know Melanie's going to tweet at me, whatever. But, like, and also I thought RuPaul, like, seemed kind of stiff in some places. And, like, you know, you could tell he was totally reading off the cue cards and he didn't seem as, natural.
RuPaul's not necessarily an actor. I mean, RuPaul's more like a personality, I guess.
A performer. But
yeah,
not
a performer. That's
a performer, but not an actor.
Right.
I mean, even though I think RuPaul is in a Netflix movie or a series of...
Yeah, there was a promo for that.
AJ and the Queen.
Oh, thank you. I was blanking on the title.
He's more of a personality performer. But as far as, like, acting in sketches, I mean, he was game in some sketches, like Old New York and whatnot. But there were some where he was kind of stiff and, like, kind of staring at the cue cards. And not quite sure... Like, missing kind of cues here and there and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, overall, I thought it was okay.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. I'm just trying not to get too many angry tweets from my sister.
Speaking of angry tweets.
Yeah.
We got some Twitter response this week that was a bit critical of the podcast.
Oh, you want to get into that?
Yeah, let's get into that.
All right.
Let's see.
Hit me.
Let's do this. I got to get it up here. Get the tweets up. Let's see. Where is it?
Okay. Well, I mean, while you're looking for it, do you want to talk about the next guest?
Sure. Let's talk about who we're getting next week.
All right. So, yeah, the next 2 weeks are going to be off. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we got some really interesting news about who's going to host the next few shows. February 29th. We get Mr. John Mulaney.
Yes.
And we get David Byrne.
Yeah.
And I am pumped for that episode.
I am here for it.
Like, John Mulaney's his third time hosting. I mean, he's going to be like a five-timers in no time. If he does,
This is like his fourth time hosting?
Third.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm surprised. I thought it was like only three. I thought he would have hosted more, but it's only his third time. And like every episode he's done hosting, it's been a good episode. Like either good or solid. So, like, I mean, you know, he's a writer. He has a great rapport with everybody on SNL. Everybody, like, he knows how the machine works. I see this episode being really good. And David Byrne!
David Byrne!
David
Byrne! this is exciting. David Byrne, Talking Heads. He's got the show. What's the show called that he's doing like on Broadway right now?
Oh, shit, I gotta look that up.
Okay, David Byrne. He's got a show on Broadway.
Yeah,
right
he's
now.
A legend. And like I think we mentioned this a while ago too, because we mentioned like how with musical guests, like they never really have on older musicians.
Right.
It's always like the young hip SoundCloud doodads or whatever. You know, the hip hipsters. Like very, very, very rarely do they have like somebody who's like, you know, people our age would know.
Yeah.
So the fact that having on David Byrne, who, you know, I mean, Talking Heads is a fantastic band.
Wonderful. I mean, wonderful stuff. If you haven't heard Talking Heads, you go listen to some Talking Heads.
It'll blow your mind what they were doing back in the 80s. It's like, wow, they're really...
Darren, I can't find these tweets.
What?
I've been searching for them. Do you remember the name of the person who tweeted us? Because they had a lot to say.
I see it.
Okay.
Cinephilac?
Okay.
But yeah. So, I mean, I think that David Byrne Mulaney episode is going to be really good. Mm-hmm. And then after that, in March, we have Daniel Craig and The Weeknd.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I am too. Yeah, Daniel Craig. I think this is his second time hosting.
I believe so. Yeah,
I think he hosted back in 2009 or 2008 or something like that.
I could try and look that up.
Okay, but I mean, Daniel Craig coming off of Knives Out, and of course the new James Bond movie coming up, and he has some comedic chops, as we saw in Knives Out.
He can be a funny guy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't see it, but that movie he was in, Lucky Logan. I heard good things about it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he did that with Adam Driver, right?
Yeah. Oh, he did. Yeah. That's the Steven Soderbergh. Soderbergh.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm saying that right. But yeah, we're looking forward to that. And The Weeknd, I like his tunes.
Let's see. Daniel Craig hosted before on October 6, 2012. So.
Right. All right. So there you go.
So he's coming back for his second time. Which I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, maybe we'll get a nice Knives Out parody, and we'll get a...
maybe a Bond?
You know, it'd be fun to see him poke fun at his James Bond tenure, because he's doing his last Bond film.
Oh, that's right.
But I enjoy Daniel Craig as an actor, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so both these episodes, I'm feeling good things.
I have high hopes. I mean, whenever Mulaney hosts, it's an event.
It
for
is.
Me. I mean, because Mulaney is one of the best stand-ups working today.
Yeah. I mean, he helps write a lot of these sketches.
Yeah.
I mean, the lobster sketch.
He brings his sensibility. Yeah. The
lobster sketch in the restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, the cha-cha slide.
Yeah.
I mean.
Cha-cha slide.
Yeah. Well, I'll pray on it.
Yeah, exactly. He's an fucking.
Good stuff.
Oh, what's that name?
Yeah.
Dude, if he brings back Bill Hader for an episode. You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. That's just exciting. Sounds I hadn't like considered that possibility.
Sounds like a climax.
Though. Yeah, I know. I'm not saying I didn't.
Oh boy.
Okay,
but yeah,
we.
But either way, next two episodes, we're very happy.
Either way, so we got a little feedback on Twitter from Cinephiliac about the J.J. Watt episode. Let's see. They say, I generally appreciate that you are tougher on the show than another SNL podcast I can think of.
Ooh.
And we don't know which one they mean because there are a few others out there. And we love them all.
We're all brothers in arms.
Yes. Even that person I've muted on Twitter.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Let's see. And Cinephilia goes on. And most of the time I agree with your criticisms, but I was really shocked by your comments this week. I thought the opening stretch of the show was among the best in years. The monologue was fine, but the cold open and the Frozen 2 bit were really stellar, in my opinion. And I have been one of those who has wished they would stop having Alec Baldwin on as Trump. But that was the first time in memory that it worked. The Hunter Biden rant was absolute genius. Then the way they kept wondering about the black guy living in rural Norway in 1840 had me in stitches, as did the carrot penis. I just enjoy that sentence. As did the carrot penis. I just wanted to repeat that. I'm glad you at least enjoyed Robbie, because I was also dying during that one. Just an inspired stretch aside from the so-so monologue. Darren, in particular, was relentlessly negative.
Was I?
I've been noticing this more and more. He doesn't always go on an all-out negative rant, but even when a sketch really hits, John will say how funny it was, and Darren will say it was all right. Darren, do you like the show at all? And this is in parentheses. Admittedly, the rest of the show was pretty meh, but I listen to you guys as I go,
And I had to comment after those first few sketches, and you're saying it was generally a weak opening to the show. Maybe you guys had seen the whole show at that point and had some recency bias. I don't know. I mean, I will say that I thought that the J.J. Watt episode was a bad one.
Yeah, this tweet knocked me for a loop.
I was very surprised to read this. You brought this to my attention. I was like, what? Oh, I haven't seen that. And I looked that up. I think I was most surprised by him saying, or her saying, I don't know which gender you are.
Yeah.
I was most surprised by this person saying that you were more negative than me. I think I usually go a little more negative than you.
I'm the likable one. What the hell?
Yeah.
Everybody loves me.
I'm filled with hate.
I'm the good
and
cop.
And bitterness. And
yeah.
You know,
you're doom and gloom. I'm sunshine and rainbows.
Exactly. That is our brand.
Yeah. And also, dude, like when you say, did he even like SNL? If I didn't like SNL, why would I do an hour-long podcast about SNL?
Right.
Like,
well, maybe you're incredibly masochistic.
I ain't.
I also just thought it was weird that you saying something was all right is apparently a negative comment. All right is generally positive. I mean, even if you're like, oh, that was all right, that's like more indifferent than anything.
Yeah, it's like all right negative in some circles.
I don't know.
I actually went back and looked at the sketches. Like, is there just something I missed? Because, like, from what I remember, the general consensus was those sketches weren't great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I looked online and said, and people were like, oh, yeah, that it was all right. The Frozen sketch was all right. And I went back and watched it, and I thought it was okay. Like, I don't know what maybe I'm missing something that he's seeing.
Obviously. I mean, well, comedy, it's subjective by its nature. Not everything is going to work for every single person.
Yeah, that's
true. I think we prove that. We prove that both in our opinions on the show and in the comedy that we put out there.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, not everything we do on this podcast works.
Well, that's true.
You know, but once in a while we have a deciding women thing that's just gold.
Yeah, gold, Jerry, gold. But I'm sorry you feel that way, Cinephiliac, but
handle, by the way.
I mean, we just, I don't know, agree to disagree here. Like, I thought, I'll watch it, maybe I'll watch it a third time and see exactly what you picked up on, or try to see what you picked up on, and I didn't, but I was like, it's just not hitting me. But it happens. Like, like I said on the podcast, I'm not a huge fan of Kyle Mooney's stuff. But like people out there, but there are people out there who love Kyle Mooney.
Mooney's very hit and miss with me.
Yeah. There are people who love Pete Davidson. And I'm like, he's kind of hit and miss with me. So,
Leslie Jones never really worked for me.
Yeah. And there are people that love Leslie Jones. So I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, we're big Kate McKinnon and Cecily Strong stands.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So like, I don't know what to tell you. Like I just
everybody's going to like different things, and you know, it's a variety show, and I like that they make an effort to do all sorts of different types of comedy and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and I don't expect to love every sketch going in to any episode of SNL. I think that's an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah, you can't please everybody.
It's going to be a hit and miss show by its nature.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I
think we should always give our honest opinion, because like, if you know, if we love everything, then it doesn't really mean anything, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just like, what are we doing
here? So if I dislike something, I'm going to be honest about disliking it.
Be true to yourself.
And I do think that the last two episodes of the show were kind of weak. And I, if I remember correctly, I think I didn't like the Adam Driver episode as much as you did.
I thought you thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I think you said it was all right, which of course means you hated it.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Adam Driver episode I thought was okay. But yeah, the last two episodes, this episode and the RuPaul were leaning towards the weaker side, I think.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think they're going to turn it around with John Mulaney. I think they always do a strong show when John Mulaney is there.
Expectations are high for that Mulaney show.
Yeah. I mean, because he's a great writer.
Yeah.
And he's a really good performer, too.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, we're going to get to hear, like, some 5 minutes of John Mulaney stand-up, and that's always great.
And David Byrne.
I mean, come on. That's...
Mamma mia.
I have high expectations for that. That's going to be really cool.
It's going to be a doozy.
That's going to be cool. Did we have any other Twitter stuff to cover? Any other questions, feedback, or anything that we got?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Anything about this last episode?
No, I think we hit all the points I wanted to hit.
Okay.
Somebody did tweet at us. Oh yeah, Dcrom at Dcrom4. I said, love the pod. Why are we only seeing a few cast members getting sketches on, i.e., where is Heidi, Kyle, etc.?
Well, I think the show is always going to be kind of hit and miss by its nature. I thought, like, we didn't see too much of Keenan in this episode, honestly. We saw Keenan, like, briefly during the Democratic debate, and then he was in the charade sketch, and then I don't think we saw him again. Did we?
Huh.
Or was he in the thing with the check, splitting the check?
No, that was Chris, okay, and Heidi, AD, and Kyle.
Yeah, okay.
And Cecily. But yeah. Wow, yeah, I guess it was a light Keenan episode. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't realize that until after the show. I was like, hey, a little light for Keenan. That's unusual for the show. They usually service him pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But
and here's something I found out online. The people at SNL in Review, they tweeted this picture of... apparently, RuPaul was on SNL years ago, because, like, it shows him...
Oh, in, like, a cameo or something?
I don't know, because, like, it shows him this picture of him back in the 90s, where he's on stage with Charles Barkley, Muggsy Bogues, and Kurt Cobain.
Oh, that group again.
Yeah, remember? Do you remember that episode?
I do not. Okay, I love in this picture that there are two red arrows pointing to RuPaul, as if we would look at this picture and not know which one RuPaul was.
RuPaul is the 6-foot-tall drag queen.
That's not Kurt Cobain.
In the shocking red dress and platinum wig. So, to avoid confusion.
No, I didn't know that, but...
Yeah, I got a kick out of that.
What did RuPaul and Kurt Cobain talk about?
Oh, same thing as Justin Bieber, of course.
I don't know. Did RuPaul have a conversation with Charles Barkley?
These are the things I want to know. I want to see them all at lunch eating, tuna sandwiches.
Yeah, I just want to see them in the 30 Rock commissary. Even if it's just awkward silences of them searching for some common ground.
Yeah, so...
I think that would be entertaining.
So it's really cold out there tonight, right?
Yeah, wow. You think it's... Are we done with winter? I mean, the groundhog didn't see its shadow,
I'm about to get a jacket.
Yeah.
Zip up. Let's get chilly up. Brr.
I think that's about it for SNL. We had a little news we forgot to cover last week. Cecily Strong, it was her birthday yesterday, as we said. She also... the news broke last week. She is doing a new musical comedy series for Apple TV.
Hey, now.
It doesn't have a title yet. It was created by the writers behind the Despicable Me movies. It says the series is set in a fictional world where everyone acts like they live in a 1940s Hollywood musical and can only leave once they find true love. So that's cool. It's neat that she'll have a showcase. According to Deadline, Cecily is in the last year of her contract on SNL. She's been on it since 2012.
Oh, wow. Has it been 8 years?
It's 8 years. Eight years, man. She came in a while ago. It doesn't seem like that long to me. I mean, in a good way, because I'm certainly not sick of Cecily yet.
So do you think this might be your final...
Who knows? I'm sure she probably doesn't even know yet. Might not know till the end of the season, because it seems like when people decide to leave the show, it is kind of a thing they decide at the tail end of the season or even after the season ends in some cases.
I guess so.
I would be sorry to see her leave the show, because I think she is a strong asset for the show. But this new show sounds very interesting. I don't get... Apple Plus, but I might consider it for that.
Yeah,
Apple TV Plus.
Yeah. I think, it is weird how, like, a lot more cast members are kind of doing more side projects while they're on the show, like 80 with Shrill.
Right.
Kate McKinnon has, she's in movies now, and Kate McKinnon has a bunch of stuff too. I mean, people have been saying, oh, is this Kate and 80's last year? Pete has all the movies he's in now. He's in that new, he has that new movie with Judd Apatow, The King of Staten Island.
Right.
He's in that John Turturro movie, The Jesus Rolls.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
He's going to be in Suicide Squad 2,
Suicide Squad 2,
is, I guess, done shooting now, probably.
The Suicide Squad, yeah. So people are saying, like, is this Pete's last year?
Keenan still has that thing for NBC in the works called The Keenan Show, which it seems like we've been hearing about forever, and it still hasn't premiered.
I swear I heard about that show, like, 2 years ago.
It seems,
and like,
yeah.
Like Bubkiss. I haven't seen anything.
I mean, maybe it's just still in development or something. Or I mean, I don't even know if they've shot anything for that. Or,
under
or
construction.
What. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. So, but yeah, I mean, if all these people go, it'll be a bummer. But I mean, we totally understand. They've all been there for a long time now, like
yeah.
5+ years. And you know, like we've always said, it's time for you know, new blood. New people need to shine and showcase and make the show new and fresh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of the show, in a way, is just how it just cycles through the people.
Yeah.
And yeah, some people leave longer, or they leave sooner than you would want them to. Mm. Some people stay way longer than you would want them to. I'm not going to name any names.
Okay.
At the moment, you can probably guess the names I'm thinking of, but...
What up with that? Yeah.
I do miss What Up With That, though.
Yeah,
whenever Keenan leaves, if that day ever comes, I would like to see a return of What Up With That,
like an hour long What Up With That. The whole show is just What Up With That.
That would be ambitious.
That would be
something.
Just put it out there, SNL writers.
I
just the entire hour and a half show.
I
what
don't
up
know
with
if I would like that or not, but that would be interesting to say.
All right. Oh,
well, yeah. It would probably like start out funny, then cycle through to unfunny, and then circle back around to funny again.
Circle of life.
Yeah.
But yes, and that's the episode, guys. And next week, as we said before, they have the week off. So we were thinking
Was it next week? I thought it was John Mulaney next week.
No, he's not until the 29th.
Oh, right. Okay. I was just thinking of that as the next episode, and so I was so excited about that. Oh, man, I gotta wait.
You gotta wait 2 weeks, man.
I gotta wait 2 weeks for my John Mulaney fix?
It'll be here before you know,
oh,
man.
Oh, boy. Oh,
watch boy. The old episodes.
Yeah, okay. No,
that'll get you through.
Yeah.
It's like a nice little placebo.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
So what are we going to do next week, then?
Well, next week we were thinking, we could do another movie. And since it is an election year, and next week is President's Day weekend, we can do a political SNL movie.
But what political movie has a connection to SNL? I don't know. I'm coming up blank.
Well, John Trumbull, how about a little film called Bob Roberts.
Bob Roberts?
Bob Roberts.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Bob Roberts was a 1992 film directed, written and directed by Tim Robbins.
Right, yeah, very small film.
And kind of originated in an SNL sketch. We can get into more in depth in that next week.
Right. Yeah, like I remember I saw it years ago and like I really liked it, but like it was also kind of creepy, like how, like, oh wow, this is how politics kind of works.
It's interesting. If you don't know the movie, he's a folk singing Republican senatorial candidate, and it's a mock documentary,
right, like
following
like,
him around on the
like,
campaign
like
trail.
Spinal Tap style.
Yeah, but not, you know, not as overtly
right.
humorous, but interesting film.
It's a comedy drama, and you know, he's a man who's not above like mudslinging, but he does it behind the guise of being moral and folksy and just a down home country boy.
Interesting film. So we're gonna get into that next week.
Yeah.
With the Bob Roberts. So please join us for that.
Yes, please do. And if you want to follow me on the Instagram or the Twitters, you can follow me at Darren Credible, at D-A-R-I-N Credible.
And you can follow me on the Twitters or the Instagrams at Trumbull Comic, T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L Comic. And you can follow the show at SNL Nerds Show. We're also on Facebook at SNL Nerds.
Yeah, and check out the website, non-productive.com. Check out our podcast there. Check out the other podcasts on the non-productive website. Got Adventures in Collecting, the Honeymooners podcast, and just scores and scores of fine audio entertainment for you and yours.
Yep. All right, so I think that's our show for this week. So until next week,
Nerds out!
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.